Rituals are things that can either have great significance or they can be meaningless. It's one of the things that I love about the military of our country is that they have sustained and maintained rituals and memorials, if you will, that are important. They mean something. Unfortunately, the celebration of the Lord's table often is not even observed. And when it is observed, sometimes not with a great deal of meaning. So I hope I can invest what we're about to do with some meaning for you. This bread and the cup has great significance. If you will, open to two passages with me. The first in Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. I'll be beginning in verse 14. I'd like you to notice just several things significant here. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. I want you to notice the timing. Timing is very important in God's plan. Timing is everything, and timing ultimately belongs to him. He said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Planning. They didn't know he was going to do it, but he had been planning it for some time. And he had a great desire to do what you and I are about to do. "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of the fruit of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God." So there's anticipation. Timing, preparation, anticipation. If Jesus passionately desired to celebrate what we're about to celebrate with the disciples on that occasion, how great and how intense do you think his desire is to celebrate it when the whole family comes home? What's the first thing you and I are going to do in the kingdom? We're going to celebrate the Lord's table. I believe that kicks off the wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I always think it's neat when a wedding incorporates communion in the wedding. The first act of that bride and that groom is to celebrate the Lord's table. So significant. Verse 19, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So not only is there timing and planning and anticipation, but there is also reflection, remembrance. "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" The essence of the new covenant, as stated in Hebrews 10 and verse 17, is "Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." There's our liberation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul takes what Jesus did on that occasion and gives us some instruction about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, I want you to stop right there and just consider the fact that Paul, I believe, was the 12th apostle. Judas, of course, being the false apostle, hung himself after betraying Christ. The other disciples tried to choose an apostle on their own in Acts chapter 1, and I think that was a bogus vote. They cast lots, took some dice and threw it down and said, "Come on, lucky seven." And they got Mattathias, of whom we hear nothing again. I think God made the choice. And that choice was the Apostle Paul. And yet Paul wasn't there on that night, and therefore it was so important to the Lord that he paid Paul a special visit and gave him a special revelation about what you and I are about to do. So I think all of these things kind of add to the significance of this ritual. I want to skip from verse 23 down to verse 27. Therefore, because of the importance of the Lord's table, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That is, guilty of violating its meaning. And its meaning is to purify from sin and to unite each member of the family of God into one body called the church. And therefore, if you have the body, the church, gathered together, redeemed through Jesus Christ, and any member is not in fellowship with the Lord, it's a violation of what he died for. Verse 28 gives us a solution. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And here I think the body he's talking about is this one right here. If I don't think it's important enough what we are about to do to make sure that I am in a right relationship with the Lord and that I'm in fellowship, I'm not discerning the value of the Lord's body. I don't realize that as a member it does matter if I'm in a right relationship with God. Verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you and many sleep. Christians have died for disregarding the value of what we're about to do. That makes it pretty serious, I think. But verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord so that we will not be condemned with the world. So divine discipline not only corrects us, but it convinces us that we are a child of God. God loves us enough to correct us and discipline us, and at the time of the celebration of the Lord's table, it's very important that we be in fellowship. Before we move on, I'm going to take time again to approach the throne of grace and make sure, just in case, when you stepped out during the break, someone didn't jostle you and bring up some mental attitude sin or any other occurrence that may have someone stepped on your toe. And you're doing the right thing by smiling and showing Christian love, but deep down inside you're going like to tear that guy's head off, something like that. So let's just take a moment of silent prayer and go before the throne of God's grace and examine ourselves. There's another reason, by the way, why we do this. No one should miss the Lord's table. You know, you sometimes see Christians say, oh, I've been disobedient. I can't take the Lord's table. He just told us here twice, if you would examine yourself and judge yourself, you could take it. How long does it take God to cleanse? Forgiveness is instant. Recovery, on the other hand, may take time. But thank God we don't have to recover. We just have to be restored to fellowship. So join me at the throne of grace. I'll pray. I'll ask the men to come forward. And then as Paul guides us through the elements, they'll be passed to you. And we will celebrate the most marvelous ritual ever known to man, the celebration of the Lord's table. Join me at the throne of grace for a moment of silent prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for the provisions of your grace, which anticipate and provide for our every need. And we have the privilege of entering your presence at any time to find grace and mercy, to find cleansing and forgiveness. We thank you that at this time, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's table, that which Jesus did with the disciples in the upper room and that which one day we will do in his kingdom, it is our prayer that we would be clean, that our lives would be washed by the grace that you make available to us. Help us, Father, as we reflect on our Lord, to remember him in what these emblems signify, to reflect on their significance and to be challenged by the reality of that new covenant in which we are forgiven forever. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask Ken and Paul to come forward. And here's how we're going to do it. Everybody celebrates the Lord's table a little bit differently, so I feel it's always important to explain how we're going to do it. That way you're not sitting there going, what do I do, what do I do? These gentlemen are going to pass the bread. Take the bread and hold it in your hand. Don't just toss it into your mouth right away. Hold it in your hand because I want us to take the bread together. And as they're passing, I'm going to be dealing with what Paul says about the bread. So gentlemen, if you'll begin to pass it out, those of you that are waiting to be served, you can look with me at the rest of what the Apostle Paul has to say here regarding the bread. He says, backing up to verse 23, I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I suggest to you, as you hold that bread in your hand, that you think of what it represents in the humanity of Jesus Christ. The fact that he came into this world by virgin birth, that he became a member of the human race with one ultimate primary objective, and that was to go to the cross in our place. I always love to picture in The Passion by Mel Gibson, where he did an excellent job of showing the sufferings of Christ. Unfortunately, he could have ended the movie a little better with a powerful resurrection scene, which he didn't do, but that's Hollywood. But the scene where Jesus is carrying his cross and he falls, and his mother Mary remembers him as a little boy falling down and running to him and lifting him up. You remember how she ran out to him and took his face in her hands. Knockout scene. When he says, see, I make all things new. You're holding his face in your hand. Think about that. Which one of you is going to pray? Ken's going to pray for the bread, so let's bow our heads as we give thanks, as Jesus did, and then we will eat together. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Let's eat the bread together. I'll ask the gentleman to pass the cup to you, and again, if you'll hold the cup. Paul goes on to say, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then Paul adds, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Just hold the cup and reflect on its meaning. The new covenant, the price of our so great salvation, the blood of Christ. We know that the biblical term blood of Christ encompasses so much more than just the physical blood. Prophet Isaiah tells us that included in that term blood of Christ is the fact that when he bore our sins in his body on the cross, he was pierced through with our iniquities. And what that means is that all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the sorrow that is associated with sin, he tasted. And therefore, I'll ask Paul to offer a prayer in thanks for the cup. I'd like to ask before you drink that you stand. I'd like to offer the cup as a toast. The greatest man and the greatest warrior, the greatest hero who ever lived. The Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who loved us and sacrificed himself that we might one day accomplish this act and see it in its greatest fulfillment in his kingdom. To the King.
To the King.
You can leave the cups on your table. I'll close with a final word of prayer, and I would just ask if any of you want to help with clean up and pick up, that would be much appreciated. And after I close, the band is going to come forward. We'll remain standing for one last song. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for his son. Thank you for his work on the cross. Thank you for his present session where he prays for us seated at your right hand. Thank you for the anticipation that one day we're going to celebrate this together with each other, but more importantly, together with him. We commit ourselves to you and ask that we might live in such a way that we would stand with confidence in his presence, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.